there's our bodies like are just in constant shock and stress, I think, right now, because there's no consistency and our just natural rhythm is blown to hell right now. But with that said, it tuned me into, when I was looking through the news, that these three winners for the Nobel Prize for Medicine were specifically all about the molecular mechanisms that control the body's circadian rhythm, which is...
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys joining us each week, and we really appreciate it when you share the podcast with your friends. That helps us build our audience and share the good word of fitness with more and more people. Also, if you have some extra time, we'd love it if you gave us a rating and review in iTunes and...
Facebook.
That's right. Our brand new Facebook page that the lovely Shannon designed and put together.
So complicated.
Yes. Yeah, so it's...
It is Addicted to Fitness Podcast.
That's right.
So just remember to put podcast at the end. Otherwise, you will land on some other person's page.
Yes. So yeah, make sure you put that on there and give us that rating review and your thoughts on our episodes each week.
Yes.
So this week we are we're finally going to recap our experience, our life-changing
experience, yeah,
our big day experience, or days, I guess it was,
because it was over.
You know, you guys, the regular listeners of the podcast have known that, you know, Shannon was big time pregnant, as she called it. So it finally came to fruition, you know, and we headed to the hospital. I guess it was, actually everything started on a Sunday morning, right?
Yeah, actually, as many people who've had kids can probably attest to, they come in their own time, and there's really no way to predict when it's going to happen. And we went to the doctors on a Friday, and they said, no, you're not really that close. You've probably got some more time, even though I was already overdue at that point.
Yep.
And they didn't really have any strong signs that she was coming. And within, 24 hours, basically, almost? A little bit more.
Yeah.
Less than 2 days later, definitely. 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was like, well, this is weird. And I'm like, this isn't normal. I feel like I'm uncomfortable at regular intervals. And yeah, I started contractions at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and we stayed home. We stayed home and we powered through the contractions until 9 o'clock at night.
Yep. So we were home for almost through 15 hours of contractions or so.
Yep, 14, 15 hours. Yep. And it was basically by the point where I couldn't sit comfortably. I couldn't just be anywhere comfortably, and I was starting to get concerned about moving and having to go through the whole transition over to the hospital. That was basically when I said, we have to go over there. And I'd heard many people have stories where they got sent home.
Yeah.
After having contractions for hours and hours.
Yeah, and when we got there, it seemed to be a kind of close that we were going to be in the same boat.
Yeah, it was because I was already overdue that they were more receptive to us staying.
Right. Yeah.
But
we don't want to get too details, but they can tell if she's close to, coming knocking at the door.
Yeah. If you're dilated, you've heard these words before. Yeah. These are not scary, graphic words, but they can tell where you are in kind of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And my contractions were moving along, but nothing else really was.
Yep.
So
she was taking her time.
She was definitely, she's not rushing out. And because I was overdue, they said, the doctor said you can stay.
God, thank goodness. I don't know. Because, they were going to make us go home or around or something like that.
Yeah, they're like, take a walk. It's like, no, I can't walk. That's my problem.
I know. It's after, because like I said, it's been since 4 a.m. and,
so tired.
Dealing with over 16 hours of contractions. So they took us to the, I guess that's the delivery room, or from that we were in like some, mm-hmm. Triage, and then went to the delivery room, and then we, stayed the night there, and, you progressed with the contractions to the point where, it was, we decided to, get to some help to kind of.
Yeah, it was, I think it was 28 hours was how long we lasted without any kind of pain management, outside pain management.
Yep.
28 hours was good by me though, and at that point, I was done. Mm-hmm. I was so freaking tired. They had to give us some sleep medicine, or give me sleep medicine rather, and I think I got maybe an hour and a half of sleep off of that, just, trying to get me any kind of rest. But after 28 hours, we asked for an epidural.
Yep.
So that made a world of difference because we also had Pitocin.
Yep.
So we had to have things kind of moved along with a drug, which is oxytocin.
It's a derivative of
Pitocin is the brand name. It is oxytocin.
Right. And it helps basically stimulate contractions, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So contractions get more intense mm-hmm. after you start taking this. And I think they started me on that. I don't even remember what time they started me on that. But
yeah, you got that before you got the epidural.
Yeah. And I lasted as long as I could with that. And then at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday, I was like, give me the epidural, I'm ready. Yeah.
So we were over the 24-hour mark. We were pushing 30 hours.
Yeah, it was 28 hours. Yeah.
And then, like you said, once you got the epidural, then the kind of the contractions, you could track them. They had like a monitor where you could track them, and they were getting a little closer together. Mm-hmm. And, then we got to the point, doctor came in finally, I think it was around noon. They came in and said, looks like we're ready to start pushing.
Yeah, it moved a lot faster after we had the epidural because I think my body was able to relax a little bit and just kind of start moving along,
mm-hmm.
Which is very common. If anybody's curious, that's actually a lot of people's cases when they are having a very slow progression. They have an epidural and that actually speeds things up.
Yep.
So I know there's a lot of people with opinions on how you should give birth and do all this stuff, and we really did keep an open mind. We went in with a framework of what we wanted for our birth plan, and we did not have things set in stone. I think the things that we were most kind of specific about keeping was the atmosphere. Nick was a DJ.
Scent DJ? Was that what you call it?
Yes, you were a scent DJ and then you were a music DJ.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we actually brought our little oil diffuser.
Yeah, and essential oils, yeah.
And oh my gosh, we made so many friends. People, the nurses and staff coming in and out.
I think we need to start reaching out to that company because we sold a diffuser.
I know.
Essentially, to one of the nurses.
Get a commission off that.
Yeah, exactly. One of the nurses that was there essentially. The nurse that was there for our basically delivery.
Yeah, our delivery nurse.
She bought a diffuser while she kind of was hanging out with us.
Yep.
Obviously not in the middle of delivery or anything like that, but in between kind of coming in and checking in on us, she was oh, what is that smell? What do you use? And we showed her the brand, and she's like, I just bought it on Amazon. So
she came back 20 minutes later. I was like, I just bought one.
I know. We should have had it. Gosh, I wish we had a promo code for Amazon something. No, in the future. But yeah, so it was a little after 1 o'clock. We started really, maybe, 12:30.
Yeah,
so
around,
we started
12:30,
pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're great. They taught you how to do it and everything mm-hmm. because it's a little bit different than what you expect it to be, I think, is from a female's perspective. But they said I was a good pusher.
Yeah, you were.
And basically, I think in like a half an hour, like under 45 minutes though, of pushing, mm-hmm. and she was out.
Yeah.
So we had our baby girl, and we had some little scares at the beginning just in how she was delivered, but she was very healthy though still and got through those little hiccups sort of.
Yeah. I mean
it was a scary start, let's just say that.
I mean I don't know how deep, I don't want to get too in detail, but it was like a kind of like the longest, like I guess it was maybe like 20-30 minutes, you know.
Yeah, when she first came out there was some concerns that were linked to like respiratory health.
Yeah. Yep.
And she was not breathing at like a consistent pattern because of some other things, like I guess the umbilical cord was wrapped twice around her neck when she came out, and that wasn't even what caused any trouble.
Yeah.
It was just some other things, and they basically worked on her for 20 minutes before saying, we're going to take her up to NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit,
right,
which is probably one of the last things that a new parent wants to hear, is that their baby's going to be taken to the intensive care unit.
Right. And I mean, it's just to paint the scene, with, you know, we're watching, they have a little incubator where they're giving her, you know, oxygen and stuff and trying to, you know, see if her kind of respiratory rate, her breathing kind of goes back to a little bit more closer to normal. And after 20 minutes of that, you know, like Shannon says, they make the decision to take her up and they put her in the little kind of, you
clear
guys have,
box.
Yeah, you guys have seen it, you know, anywhere like kind of like usually like premature babies go into. I think it's essentially it's a constant flow,
it's
of
like
oxygen
a
and stuff
sterile,
for them.
Yeah.
And they put her in that, and they were like, you know, Dad, you got to come up there. You know, you can follow us up there. Well, Mom stays. Obviously, Shannon had to stay there. And it was just, you know, one of the, a surreal is probably not even a great description for it. It was just like, it was
terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And it was one of the most kind of emotional times of both our lives, I'm sure, and we weren't even together, which was, you know, even worse.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, we made the decision to just, you know, Shannon and I wanted to be there. You know, we not that we were selfish, I don't think any, but we, you know, we didn't want to include too many people in the whole process because it was very personal to us.
Yeah, we didn't want it to turn into a circus. We didn't want it to turn into, you know, people with differing opinions about how we should handle things. We just wanted, we knew this was a very personal, very intimate experience that we wanted to keep that way.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I'm going up to the, you know, to the intensive care, the baby intensive care, and Shannon's staying down there. It's like, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but luckily, like Shannon said, once we got up to the intensive care, you know, they didn't even take her out. They were like, you know, her breathing is kind of normalized, and we're just going to send her down to the nursery for a little couple hours of observation. So, you know, once that happened, I got to go down there, and they set her up, and, you know, and they were, you know, everything kind of calmed down, and I got to go tell Shannon and everything like that. So, you know, that's that. I mean, I knew it was intense for me and extremely emotional for me, and I can't even imagine how it was for you being, I know you weren't by yourself because a nurse was there, but
I was, though. They left.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't even imagine that
they
was
all left me.
That was the one portion that I was like, we kind of wish somebody else, we had somebody there, you know, to at least be with you there, because I can't imagine how, at least I knew what was going on, which I don't know if that was better or worse, but, you know, I know you didn't know, which was, I mean, I made sure that, you know, when they told us we're going to the nursery, I was like, please somebody tell her that we're going there. And then, you know, once she was settled in the nursery, I came down there and came back to the room and told you what was going on. So, like I said, it was, you know, 20, it was probably like
It turned out to be like 2 hours from when the baby left to when we found out that everything was okay.
Right.
It was like the longest 2 hours. You know, we just talked about how we had like 28 hours of no pain management and just like breathing through contractions. That was a piece of cake compared to those stupid 2 hours where we were just waiting.
Right.
I was just down in the room waiting, and even though the nurses kept saying, like, this happens frequently, you know, she'll be fine, she'll be fine. Like, you can't help it. You really, your mind just goes, you have no sleep. Like, it was basically 2 days of no sleep. Mm-hmm. And you just can't help but be terrified. And
right.
It was the longest 2 hours ever. But
yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah, I agree. And, you know, luckily, you know, we got her back and everything checked out. And, you know, now we brought her home.
Yep.
And we now we're
2 days in the hospital.
Yep.
And now we are on our own.
Yep, we're enjoying the new parents breaking in period, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of just talked about sleep. And one thing that getting used to is getting synced up to her pattern, which, you know, kind of not so conducive to our sleep patterns, our pre-existing sleep patterns.
So and I didn't know this, but newborn babies are nocturnal.
Yeah.
And you know it after one or two nights with them,
right.
that's the case.
Yep.
Because, yeah, they are just as active at night, if not more so.
Yeah. And,
so.
And it's definitely, I mean, it kind of makes sense since they've been living in darkness for, you know, 9 months. But also the fact that, you know, like they need essentially to be fed 8 to 12 times a day.
Yeah.
When they first start, first couple weeks.
3 hours.
You know,
yeah.
So, and, you know, we're, I don't want to get too detailed, but we're producing our own food right now, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not. We're trying to go au naturel and just trying to breastfeed.
Yep.
So that means whenever there's food needed, I need to be up and functioning. And that also is a little bit of a different kind of thing because it's not something that Nick's able to just, you know, jump in on and be like, don't worry, I got this one.
Yeah, I know. I can't take over right now.
You did get some hiccups during the week.
Yeah, anytime, like, especially because one thing they talk about is going skin to skin with your baby. And, you know, when dad puts the baby on the chest, it's the first kind of reaction the baby has since she's, you know, what she's used to when she gets pulled in close to the breast is she gets to suckle. Well, you know, she suckled on my chest and gave me a few hickeys. So, which was funny, you know, probably disappointing for her, but hilarious for both of us.
She was so happy, but it was hilarious looking over and seeing like these little bruises on your chest.
Yeah, she's got quite the, I'm sure you know, but she, you know, she's got quite the suction.
Yeah. She does.
But one thing we kind of relate to it, I mean, you know, overall wrap up, I mean, it was an experience. Like people have said, I mean, you don't really understand it until you go through it how it's a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it's something that it's like how your brain can't comprehend what a million looks like until you've seen it. We can't comprehend the universe because it's such a, you know, beyond comprehension sort of thing.
Yep.
It's the exact same thing with having a baby and becoming a parent and everything. You just can't comprehend it. You can't imagine what it is because it's so far beyond anything you've ever experienced.
Right.
And even things that are similar, you know, we have pets that we are parents to. We have family members who, you know, we've taken care of their kids.
Who are babies.
Who are just giant babies.
Big babies.
But, I mean, there's a lot of similarities, you know, in kind of the relationships that you set up. But there's just nothing like having a baby, going through that experience. And, I mean, we feel incredibly lucky and incredibly honored to have gone through all of this. But it's definitely something that you can't quite describe it accurately to someone.
You can't train for it.
You can't train for it.
Absolutely.
We're so about training, but you can't train for it at all.
There's no exercises you can go through. I mean, we took the classes, we read the books and everything like that, but it doesn't
talk to the doctors.
Yes.
We did all that stuff. We talked to friends.
It just doesn't prepare you for when it actually happens. So,
no.
So it's good. Every day is a learning experience, which I know we both enjoy. We just wish we probably got a little bit more sleep than we are right now.
Yeah. And we've lucky enough, we've been able to take some time without, you know, having to have full-time work for both of us. I'm taking a maternity leave, so thankfully we're able to do that.
Yep.
And I can't imagine, honestly, like, not being able to do that because
it is
a lot.
Right.
And every time, like, I feel like I'm messing up, I kind of just look at the baby and I'm like, so this is a learning period. Remember, we're all learning right now.
Right.
It's like as much a reminder to myself. But it's awesome.
Right.
So no. We're deliriously happy, even though we're deliriously I don't even know what the word is. We're
exhausted.
We're deliriously exhausted. Yeah, that's perfect. We're deliriously exhausted and deliriously happy.
Yes. So, yeah, and that kind of segues into our health topic we wanted to touch on. Obviously, we wanted to give most of the time and to us describing our experience because you guys have been coming along with us as we've been talking about your pregnancy over the last 9 months. So we wanted to give you guys a little insight to the whole, the big final act, essentially.
Yes.
We kind of wanted to touch on something because recently in the news, you actually pointed out or told me about, talking about kind of sleep patterns. Something related to that help end for the Nobel Prize
for medicine.
For medicine, right?
Yep. Yeah, and I think because of our situation, our current situation, which is, we're dealing with a completely interrupted sleep cycle. We have our bodies like are just in constant shock and stress, I think, right now, because there's no consistency and our just natural rhythm is blown to hell right now. But with that said, it tuned me into when I was looking through the news that these three winners for the Nobel Prize for Medicine were specifically all about the molecular mechanisms that control the body's circadian rhythm, which is your body's just kind of natural, I don't know, rhythm, beat, kind of how you get through the day.
It's right.
When you're tired, when you're awake.
And, it syncs up to kind of the environmental, day and night kind of cycles.
The biological clock.
There we go.
Yes.
So, obviously, people have known about this, having the circadian rhythm, how humans are diurnal, adult humans are diurnal, which is mean, up during the day and sleeping at night. You know, we just kind of we just talked about how babies, are nocturnal for, I can't remember how long they said, but, it's probably good for a few months before they get on, or probably more, hopefully not too much more.
I hope it's like a few weeks.
Yeah, that would be great. But basically, they've isolated these people who won the Nobel Prize for Medicine this year, isolated a gene that, controls that kind of that circadian rhythm.
Yeah, so they've been studying specifically insects, fruit flies, and they found that there is actually this protein that ends up building up in the body during the sleep time, and then that kind of starts to dissipate over the course of the day, and that's what, like, helps to trigger the sleeping and waking and all that.
Yeah.
And the thing that I thought was most interesting about this was, I mean, you've heard about all kinds of different aspects of the biological clock in articles and things like that, but it's the reason that they got this, they got this prize, was because this is basically, sleep is so important to your overall health. That their studies could actually lead to groundbreaking breakthroughs in other diseases, because sometimes other diseases are triggered by lack of sleep or not matching your natural environment with your circadian rhythm.
Right.
So the idea is that these guys could have made steps forward into really getting to the bottom of, you're taking transatlantic flights, you've got jet lag, you're working night shifts, and oh, yeah, but now you have to shift back to the daytime. Like, that does a serious number on your body.
Right. You know, it could lead to different problems with like blood pressure, metabolism, you know, any things about like blood sugar regulation in your body. So, I mean, we've heard about how, you know, like night shift employees, people who work night shifts are more likely to have certain type of chronic conditions than people that work the day shift, mainly because of, you know, they're going against their circadian rhythm.
Yep.
So, you know, kind of identifying the gene and, like you said, the protein that builds up in that gene and degrades, they can possibly, you know, make, you know, steps to trying to kind of maybe, I don't know, creating some sort of either mechanism or medicine to help prevent some of the side effects that cause the other, metabolic disorders.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if all of these things in our body, like you mentioned, blood pressure, heart rate, alertness, body temperature, reaction times, I mean, all of those things could actually be somehow supported or counteracted or something when you have these time periods where there's a misalignment between your lifestyle and the rhythm that your body really is trying to dictate. When those things are out of line, there's huge repercussions. So that was just like a kind of interesting little tie-in.
Right.
And having been so completely thrown upside down for our own circadian rhythms, it made a lot of sense, and it just made me appreciate these three gentlemen, Dr. Roshbosh, Dr. Young, and Dr. Hall. Roshbosh? I don't even know how to say his name. Roshbosh. I'm sorry, sir. I don't know how to say your name. These three gentlemen took home that prize, and this is the time of year when the Nobel Prize winners are announced. The Nobel Peace Prize also was announced this week. But just thought it was a cool kind of tie-in.
And definitely relates.
Something that everybody should be kind of tuned into because it affects every single one of us
right. In
one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're gonna try our best. You know, we obviously our little girl kind of dictates when we're sleeping and when we're awake right now. But, you know, we're going to try to get her on a good rhythm so we can get back on our normal rhythm. So speaking of rhythms, we are really chugging along with the podcast. We got some interesting stuff coming up for you guys, like possible sponsorship coming up on a future episodes. Our very first sponsor.
Might have some discount codes.
Yeah, exactly.
For you.
Something for you, our listeners, to take advantage of.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. And I think that's all we got from this week. You got anything else?
No.
No. It's time to get some sleep, huh?
It's time to go take a nap.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. We appreciate you guys listening, and we appreciate all of those have given us that have... One more time. 5, 4, 3...